Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, too busy chatting to your neighbor. Good morning. Perfect. Just in case you missed it the first time around, I'm Sarah, part of the team here. I feel like we have to say that's drilled into us, so you're so welcome to be here. For the last few minutes of our service this morning, we are just going to wrap up this series that we've been looking at, Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus invites us to ask, seek, and knock. So let's read that passage together. If you've brought your Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 7. If you have not brought a Bible or you don't own a Bible, there should be black ones on the seats anywhere around you. And actually, if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take that home with you. That would be our pleasure to gift that to you. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Come, Holy Spirit. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? Let's just pray really quick before we jump in. God, you are so good. Thank you for the gift of your word, for the teachings of Jesus, to reveal who you are and the truth of who you are for us to know better. God, I thank you that you're a God who speaks, that you have much to say to us, and so I pray that we have ears to hear. God, by your Spirit, may we hear your voice and what you want to say, that my words will fall away and only yours will be left. God, open our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, we're wrapping up. We've spent 2 weeks looking at this short passage, and just in case you have missed it, let me fill you in. So 2 weeks ago, Andy started us off with the instruction to ask. What is this ask all about? See, it's to understand that we have a good God, a God who loves us, a God who can be trusted to handle when we come to him with our desires and our needs, because he desires nothing more than to give us good things, blessing. But it's not just us that he wants to bless. He wants us to take that blessing. We, as his people, are the chosen vehicle to bless everyone around us with everything that we have been given by God. And so there was also a challenge 2 weeks ago that if God did, in fact, answer all of our prayers, who would be being blessed? Would anyone else other than ourselves receive blessing based on what we're praying for? You see, there is an understanding that yes, Jesus has instructed us and asked us to bring our asks to him, to communicate with God. What are our needs? What are our desires? What are his desires? But there's a deeper invitation to pursue and posture our lives in such a way that as we pray, God teaches us and shows us and gives us the eyes to see what to pray for. And he gives us what we ask. And then last week, Chris told us what it means to seek with diligence and the activity of seeking. And you'll remember that we chatted about how pretty much everyone at some point in their life is likely to pray. whether that's a daily habit for you, whether like Andy as a teenager, it was an annual occurrence sitting in front of an exam paper in school, or whether it's in a moment of crisis, a cry for help, a plead, last minute SOS to God, everyone is likely to pray at some point. But Chris told us last week that actually this seeking part, well, not everyone is going to do the seeking part, because to seek requires desire. And desire is not something that we can impart. It has to be cultivated. It requires effort from us. To seek is effort. It will cost, and at times it will be difficult. But when we seek, when we employ an effort to pursue God, He'll be found by us. And so what is this knocking, this third part that we're going to look at today? So when I looked at these verses again a couple of days ago, my first question was, okay, if everyone is going to do this asking part at some point, but only some are going to do the seeking part, only some have the desire to pursue God, well, who is doing the knocking part? Is it everyone? Is it some? Or is it just a few? Who is doing the knocking? And then that reminded me of this verse that we all know so well. Revelations 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." In this letter to the church at Laodicea, we see a beautiful picture of God. God, who made the heavens and the earth, who created all things, humbles himself and knocks on my door and knocks on your door. We need to be really careful that we remember when we read these passages in the New Testament and God is asking us to do things, we have to remember who knocked first. Let me be really, really clear. If there's anyone in this room that does not yet know Jesus, I am not telling you you have to follow these instructions, that you must ask, that you must seek, that you must knock, you must do X, Y, and Z. No, there is someone who's knocked at your door first, because God always makes the first move. And he's there knocking, ready to for you to open the door. So if that's you, listen. Your only instruction is to listen for Jesus knocking. For the rest of us who already are on this adventure with Jesus, these verses are found at the end of Jesus' famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm sure you will know that this sermon was all about the kingdom of God. What does it look like and what does it mean to be part of this kingdom? He gives us an invitation to ask, seek, and knock. And we've spent a couple of weeks looking at what is the ask all about? What is the seek all about? And there's this kind of sense that they're building on something. They're building on the previous instruction. Not like a stepping stone, as in, well, I have to do this one first, number one, I'll ask. Then I'll move over here to number two, and I'll seek, and then I'll get to the knocking part. No, they kind of all work together. Almost like the asking and the seeking are not fully complete until the knocking is included. They work together. There's this instruction to go further than not just asking, not just seeking, but being proactive and knocking. So here is the next question that I asked myself. Why do we knock on doors? Now, I don't know how you feel about AI. We all know that Andy is extremely dubious about anything to do with AI, even Stu's robotic vacuum cleaner. They may be trying to take over the world. Be careful, but I have to be honest, I did do a good old Google search of why do we knock on doors? Because always ask Google, right? They have all the answers. And literally, wow, did I receive an education? I am not lying. Last month, August 2024, TikTok, which I don't own, so this is clearly why I missed this, apparently blew up with this guy who posted, and it made the news headlines. Let me read you the headline. People are mind blown after realizing they've been knocking on doors wrong their whole lives. I kid you not, there was an entire article about how there is like no need to do this. Apparently there's something like this. I don't even know. I got lost in the black hole of reading an article about how you knock a door. Who knew it was so complicated? Lesson in life, don't trust AI. I think we should join Andy and stay well clear. So rather than give you some of the things I found through AI-generated answers, let me just tell you a bit of some of my own thoughts, which you can decide later whether it's worth it or not. So here is some of my thoughts about these verses. When it comes to knocking, there is definitely a physical element here. There is a charge to take action, to physically move and to knock on the door that you want God to open. Not just to ask for it to happen, not just to seek him in it, but to physically action it. We all know that phrase that our behavior displays our beliefs. Our actions speak louder than our words. So there's a challenge to be both active and to be persistent as we move towards God and communicate all that we need, all that we desire to this God that we know loves us, this God who is reliable, this God who is inviting us to knock on his door, to request access to him, because that's what I think of when I think about, why do I knock a door? I knock a door because I want in. I want in, I want something from the person behind that door. That's why I knock a door. But what am I wanting into? Remember, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And here is what we really need to get. The kingdom is a home. It's a family with a father. And the kingdom is the place where he dwells. Psalm 27 verse 4 tells us, this one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The kingdom of God is a home where God dwells. He is present. And he is available. We need to be really real for a second. We can spend all of our lives running around, knocking on all kinds of doors. Maybe we'll be over here. I think I'll knock on the blue door today, Matthew. Here is the door of financial security. It's kind of important, isn't it? I mean, I've got a big family. And maybe that's all right for a while. Maybe next year, oh, look, let's knock on this one, this red door. This is the door of job security. Great potential for promotion. That's a good door to knock. My husband's a doctor. He's at work. What about this yellow door? This is the door of health. Well-being. Let's knock on the door of security in our health and well-being. And listen, those doors are important. I'm not saying that we don't care about those things, that we don't knock on doors and make requests of God all the time about those areas of our life. But here's the thing, if you could only ever knock on one door again, what door would you choose to knock on? Because the door that I would choose is the door that belongs to my friend who I know is always there and always ready to open it to me. Some of those other doors, they're a chance and they're a question, and maybe they open and then they close in my face again. But there's one door that will always be open to me, and it belongs to my Father. Belongs to his kingdom. No, I'm not really good at stories. I really wish I was, because like the best people are the people who can tell good stories. But I was trying to find a story to make this point, and I kid you not, this is all that the Lord gave me. So take it up with him. My bad story came from him, I promise you. So bear with me. I'm going to give it my best. Who loves a good cake? Yes. With you, my friends. What are our favorite cakes? What? See, we are all on the same page. I didn't even need Just Andy that time. I heard it from back here. Lemon drizzle cake, champion of all cakes. Here's the thing, I also really enjoy baking cakes. I make a decent lemon drizzle cake. If you've been to my house, you might have tasted it before. So I do enjoy a good cake. I enjoy baking a good cake. And the reason that we all love cakes, because the primary ingredient in a cake is sugar, right? Cannot make a cake without sugar. Even our gluten-free friends, they still put sugar on their cake, right? So we need sugar. So I'm at home going to make my cake. Open the cupboard. There's no sugar left. So I need to pick up the phone and call my friend. And I'm on the phone and I'm like, friend, you are the best. I love you so much. You are amazing. I really need your help. I need a cup of sugar. Did you hear the wee cliche? It's coming. We get it. I need a cup of sugar. All right, no problem. So then I need to make some effort. I need to go and seek out my friend's house. So I go seek, I get my coat on because clearly it's raining outside, get to my friend's house, and I'm standing at their door. I'm standing outside their door, looking at the door and thinking, I have the best friend. He's amazing. He's right behind that door. I've asked for what I need. And it's a good thing that I need. I've asked for this cup of sugar that I need to bake this cake, which we all love. Here's the thing. If I don't physically knock that door, well, the door is closed. Now, I'm at the door. I'm not standing at a wall. I'm at a door. The door is designed to be opened. But if I don't knock it, they don't know that I'm there and I'm ready to come in. Like I said, this story is a bit silly. But here's what blew my mind when God finished the story for me. You see, the end of that story, here's what would happen. I knock on his door and he swings it wide open. And he doesn't hand me my cup of sugar and say, off you go, make your cake. He actually invites me in to his home to bake the cake with him. And then I get to sit and enjoy cake with my father in his home. And then here's the best part. He tells me to go take that blessing of cake to everyone else I know, wherever they are. Silly story, but do you see the point? The kingdom of God is a home where God dwells, and you are invited to knock on his door. And there's another thing I love about this story. It's actually super simple. This image of a door and a knock. It's really simple. Now, it's not easy. I am not trying to pretend. Like we said earlier, this is not a I ask, I seek, I knock, and there we go. We all know that it's not easy. We have to keep persistent over and over and over and over again. And sometimes we're wondering why that knock's being answered. Sometimes we're wondering why that ask doesn't seem to be receiving. But the picture itself is super simple. Here's the other thing that you need to know about me. I do enjoy baking cakes, particularly lemon drizzle. I also enjoy a really good holiday. And the best holidays are the ones where you go on an airplane. Not because I necessarily love airplanes, although fascinating people in airports. Kid you not, fascinating people. Lovely places to hang out and watch. What I actually love is when you go on an airplane, you tend to go somewhere where there's this big yellow ball in the sky. I don't know if you've seen it before. I don't see it very often, but it's great. Okay, so holidays. I love holidays. And because my family's a decent size, we tend to go to holiday homes. So we like go on Airbnb or something like that and rent out a holiday home. And when you do that, you get an email back from the property owner and they give you a list of instructions. And here is always the first instruction, how to get into their property. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but you've just like gone on the flight, dealt with security, dealt with car hire, listened to the kids fighting in the back for however many hours, arrive at the door to your property, and then my nemesis, a key box at the door to your property. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you are the most fortunate people to ever live. These key boxes, it's a box on the wall beside the door that has four little metallic dials. Like, I have small hands, and these dials are still, like, incredibly small for my hands. So you're fighting with metallic dials while you're holding your phone to read the instructions to remember, what number am I trying to get? Because there's not just one metallic dial, there's four. And they have to be clicking to exactly the right number in exactly the right order. And actually, if you go too far on one of them, you can't go backwards and you have to keep going all the way around. And every time you try to get to three, you accidentally end up on four and you're standing, trying your best. Your kids are there, not swearing. Four numbers, exactly right, exactly in the order they're supposed to be. And then you need to say a prayer, because not only have you got these four numbers on these metallic dials in the right order, you then have to pull the latch down with your thumb and wait for that little door to pop open. And here's the last prayer that you're asking for. Jesus, please let there be a bunch of keys in there. Not just one key attached to a chain. Because if that's what happens, then you start to question, when am I actually going to leave this property? Because if I have to do this every single time, I'm not sure I can cope. And then you unlock the door, and finally you get into your holiday home. I promise you, key boxes, they're made by the devil himself. Okay. So this door, what am I having to do? There is no mention of a lock. There is no mention of a key box. There is not even a secret knock. It's literally knock, and the door will be opened. It's super simple, because everyone is welcome at this door. Everyone belongs here. It's not exclusive, and it's not complicated, because the one on the other side of the door, he is good. He is reliable, and he can be trusted. He's designed this door to be opened. This door, this kingdom of God, is a home where God dwells, and you're invited. Back to Psalm 27, the next verse, verse 5 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent." Here's my very last thought. John 14:2, we read, "In my Father's house are many rooms." When we knock the door, God will open the door and you may go in. But here's the thing, there are many, many, many more doors available in the kingdom of God. And the God who loves to give good gifts longs to open door after door after door, but it takes us to continually ask, to continually seek, and to continually knock on those doors. So Lagan Valley Vineyard, will we be a kingdom people? A kingdom people who approach our God who loves us with boldness and with confidence, and ask and ask and ask again for the desires of our heart, and that he give us the eyes to see his desires. Will we be kingdom people who seek diligently, the face of God, and keep seeking even when it costs us, and even when we think we can't see him? And will we be kingdom people who are persistent in acting and actioning and asking God to open door after door after door that's available to us in his kingdom? ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. That's what it looks like to be kingdom people.
Thanks, Sarah. Morning, everybody. Or afternoon, I should say, 12:30. So if you missed last week, I just want to explain a little bit of what's going to be happening through the autumn at this kind of point in our service. If you've been a part of this community for any length of time, usually what we do now is sing a song together and invite you to respond. Some of you come forward for prayer and things like that. And then we're usually out of time quite quickly, and we're like, quick, go get your kids. So I don't get in trouble in the morning with Amy and Jamie for service running over. Well, the good news is some of your prayers have been answered, in that our talks are going to be shorter for the next number of weeks. Some of you are like, God is real. He answers prayer. What we want to do is rather than create a moment that only kind of works for a few of you as we respond, is actually to take some time together in an unhurried way to reflect on what Jesus is saying to us, to create space to pray with and for each other. For those of you who want some of us to pray with you, for you to have some time to come up and not have to be thinking about when's he going to dismiss us to get our kids. Many of you will have heard me say this before, that in 5th and 6th century Ireland, whenever people were seeking God, they would make pilgrimages to monasteries. And they would present themselves before the monks and people there with some version of, I'm searching for God. And almost always the monastic wisdom was to take the person and give them something to eat. They were usually quite hungry. Show them somewhere where they could sleep. They were usually quite tired. And then leave them alone for a number of days, somewhere between 3 and 5 days of food and sleep. And their wisdom was this, that their life was moving too quickly to hear from Jesus. This is 5th and 6th century Ireland when they'd been walking for days. And somehow we feel like, you know, we can go to work, deal with kids, check our phones, and then say, right, Jesus, speak to me. Thanks a lot. Right, I want to go. And then like, why is it hard to hear from God? And so what we want to do is just slow down very deliberately. So we're going to take some time. We actually have loads. Just open our hearts and our minds to think about, Jesus, what are you saying to me? Sarah's provoked us so beautifully there around, what door are you knocking on right now? And one of the maybe hard things to think about is it possible that the door you're knocking on isn't opening? Because you're knocking on the wrong door. Is it possible that the door you're knocking on isn't opening because you need to learn persistence? That God's actually schooling you in what it looks like and feels like to keep asking, to keep seeking, and to keep knocking. We're all knocking on all kinds of doors. Sarah highlighted financial security, job security, security in our health. And they're good things. But the problem is, you can do everything right with your money and still come into financial difficulty. You can be the best employee in the world, still lose your job. You can execute a health and wellness plan better than any influencer online and still come into a health challenge. What would it look like for us to knock on the door of soul security? To knock on the door of a God who loves us, who's waiting open-armed for us, to welcome us into a way of life that doesn't make our lives easy, but does provide for us undauntable faith, hope, and love. What would it look like for you this afternoon to say, for the first time ever, or for the first time in a while, or maybe just for the first time today, Jesus, I want the security that you offer me, regardless of circumstance. So I'm going to pray for us. Some of our team will come up. If you want someone to pray with you, you're so welcome to come up. You don't need to say anything. They'll probably ask, is there anything specific? But you can say no. You don't have to tell us anything. We'd love to just pray for you. Some of you might want to just sit where you are and just reflect and open your life to Jesus. Some of you might notice someone that you haven't seen in a while, someone that you love, or someone that you just think, I think the Lord's talking to me about that person, and you might want to move around the room and pray for each other. But this is space for us to be still and responsive to the Spirit of God. So let me pray, and then we'll do that together. It might be helpful if you're able, will you stand? You don't need to remain standing for this, but sometimes it's helpful just to get us moving in posture, to say with our bodies what we're saying with our hearts. Jesus, we recognize your presence in this space. Holy Spirit, we turn ourselves towards you. And Lord, we welcome your voice. God, I pray that you would highlight to us the empty wells that we're drawn from. I pray, Lord, that you'd move us from the doors that we think are important to the doors that you think are important. And I pray over us all, Lord, that you would build a resilience in our spirits, that we would be the kind of people that would keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking regardless of circumstance. We welcome you now, Lord Jesus. So the musicians are going to play. Some of our team will be up here to pray for you if you want that. But can I just encourage you to lean in to what Jesus is saying and doing with you. If you feel like you want to sit down for that, feel absolutely free. And then I'm going to jump up in a few minutes and pray for us as we close.